Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report. On today's show, we have Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. How are you?
Great, thanks. How are you, Matt?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. So I read a blog post of yours recently about steganography. Can you tell me exactly what this is?
Sure. And actually, Wikipedia has a great definition, and they say it's the art and science of writing hidden messages in such a way that no one, apart from the sender and intended recipient, suspects the existence of the message, a form of security through obscurity.
Right.
However, it can be a lot more than just security through obscurity. It can be downright impossible to know that there's a message there at all.
So I guess who's using this type of system then?
You know what? It is so difficult to discover that we actually don't even know who's using it. So there was a report out of Princeton University about a way a researcher discovered that they could use steganography for CD-ROMs so that they could have data and no one would know it was there. But using their method, it requires special equipment to be able to read the CD. And that's part of the problem. You can get the information hidden, but someone has to know how to unhide it or it's useless.
Right.
But what was kind of interesting to me, the researcher in this case has some really, really scientific things that involve refocusing the laser beam in the CD, and there's actually a significant amount of room on a CD to hide data that a normal CD reader will never find it, because a CD-ROM has 2 minutes, which I can't remember offhand how many megabytes it is, but it's a fair amount, 2 minutes lead in and 2 minutes lead out. So this is null data. It's supposed to be all zeros by specification, the CD-ROM specification, but it actually can be anything, and the CD player ignores it. So when I make a CD image, I can change that data. I could put all kinds of information into that 4 minutes worth of lead-in and lead-out, burn the CD, and if someone knows that that information is there, then they can take the CD, make an image of it, and get the data back. And there's no reason that data has to be in plain text. That can be encrypted data as well. So if someone does discover it, they still don't know how to decrypt it. So I kind of found it amusing. I blame an engineer for finding the harder way to do the same thing, but his method probably can encrypt a lot or store a lot more data. However, you can also store information, store data in pictures, in music files, and this is really a way that people can get data out of a company without being detected. So we don't know that it's being used significantly, but it would be so hard to detect, we don't know that it's not being used significantly either. And, you know, if people want to learn a bit more about some of the tools, because there's actually software, which, believe me, it makes it a lot easier using other software to encode messages. There's an organization called COTSE, COTSE. I think it's the Church, you know, I'm trying to remember, Church of the Elephant or something like that. Anyhow, COTSE.org, they have a list of steganography tools that they know about, and I don't know if any of them are free or not. I've just found it kind of an interesting concept, and I've taken MP3 files and put short little messages, plain text messages in them, and you can play that MP3 file, and you won't hear any difference. However, if you know to look for it with a hex editor, then you can find the message that was there. And so in the blog, I actually have a couple examples, and then I show hexadecimal dumps on the web page as well, so you can see that, yeah, there actually is a message in there, but you can't hear the difference. I used a picture, and I didn't use the software. If you're using software, then it's going to make it so that the picture is unchanged visually.
Right.
However, I randomly, because I didn't pay attention to the format of the picture, I randomly hit a part that controls the hue, and so what you can see is my picture that has a message in it is a different hue than the original without it.
Interesting. But the sound in the song doesn't sound different at all?
No, you can't hear anything different. I mean, and if you think about it, it makes sense, because it's only like 11 bytes long. I wrote high readers. And in 1 second, there's something like 20,000 bytes that are going to create that 1 second of sound, over 20,000. So you're talking something too short for your ear to detect was different.
So you really have to know that the message is there to even look for it.
Exactly.
Very interesting.
Right. And by the way, I was wrong. It wasn't KOTSI.org. It was KOTSI.net. And it's a pretty interesting site.
Yeah, absolutely. And this certainly seems interesting with these hidden messages that you've given as examples on the blog. So feel free to have our listeners visit that if they want to see some examples of the picture or to listen to the message itself on ESET.com in the Threat Center blog. Anything else on this topic that you want to chat about, Randy?
I find it to be a very interesting science that has all kinds of applications that probably aren't being used. One of the things I noted in my blog entry is I could store my passwords in like a JPEG file. And as long as I know where to look for them, it's easy for me to find, and no one else is going to know they're there. So
right.
They find my thumb drive, and they say, oh, that's a stupid picture of that guy. Why does he even have it? And they delete it without realizing that in there were a list of passwords that I can find and use to get into my accounts.
Yeah, no, this is very neat. Very neat stuff, and you explain it well on the blog also. So, well, if you have any questions on this topic for Randy, feel free to email him at askeset@eset.com. You can also follow the ESET research team on Twitter @ESET Research. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.